Welcome, ladies and gents, to the Grim and Bloody Podcast. This show is a presentation of horror, thriller, and suspense, and is intended for a mature audience. Join us at your own risk. Welcome to the Grim and Bloody Podcast. My name is Kevin Nicholson, author or a writer, reviewer, interviewer for HorrorNews.net or Scary Monsters Magazine, We Belong Dead Magazine, and a number of other magazines that are out there. And I am doing this show solo today with our very special guest, actor, stuntman, extraordinaire Todd Jones, and our co-host, our usual co-hosts, are unable to make it today. So a shout out to Anthony Derone, and a shout out to Al Omega, the host of award-winning host of Creature Features. And Joe Flynn, the other award-winning host of CreaTV's own The Joe Flynn Show. And Todd, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I know that you have quite the busy schedule, and you're due to head out to whatever shooting project you have next.
Yeah, thank you for having me. As I just told you a minute ago, I've been waiting for an actual horror podcast to invite me on, so... Well, I'm stoked. Thank you.
I'll do my biggest Bela Lugosi. You know, I want to drink your blood. No, I'm not even going to go there as far as that is concerned. But we've been doing this for 4+ years, actually, since 2019, and been having some fun with it. And we are Northern California based. And we are everywhere on Spotify, Apple iTunes. I think we're on a number of other resources. Anywhere where you can access podcasts, we are there. And we love horror film. We love blood, gore, the guts of it. But let's get started right on to this. How does a guy from Pennsylvania get interested in being an actor and stuntman?
Oh boy, I don't know where the interest originally came from. It's just something I was always into. I have an older brother who was in school plays and stuff, and my mom owned a video store back in the late 80s and 90s. So, mm-hmm. I was immersed in movies my whole entire life, and I think that's probably where it stemmed from originally. And
But as far as
getting into the stunt world, I was a struggling actor at one point, in my 20s, and trying to find my niche in whatever way I could to make myself stand out to get hired and build a career. So I was like, I'll go to stunt school and I'll be the guy that can really do his own stunts. And that's how that all started. And it worked. Just what I didn't foresee is that... Yeah, all the shows and the producers would see me as a stuntman who can act as opposed to an actor who can do stunts, but I'm totally cool with that. I'm very, very lucky and fortunate to have the career that I have, so no complaints whatsoever.
I thought maybe it was a situation where you're on a set and the director does a shout out. We're going to do this stunt with Tom Cruise. Where he's going to free fall out of an airplane at 30,000 feet, and we're going to film it, but we can't have Tom do it. Who wants to do it?
That's exactly what happened. How'd you know that?
Well, there you go. And you just said, hey, what the fuck? I got nothing better to do today.
Yeah, I'll do it.
And then they say, oh, by the way, the parachute that we're going to have you have on hidden may or may not work. You know, are you still you're still cool to do it, right?
Yeah. And you're like, go. Okay. That's pretty much how it works.
So you have quite the varied career, for quite the varied body of work, titles that you're working, that you've worked on as an actor, as a stuntman. Are you pretty much game to do whatever the gig presents itself?
Yeah, pretty much. There's certain, depending on what you're doing, there's certain guys who might be, or ladies that might be, like the go-to people for a specific kind of thing. Like, for instance, like crazy driving stunts. You know, I can do driving stunts, but there are certain people that are just on a whole nother level that I am, and they're known for that. You know what I mean? So they'll typically get the call first in certain situations.
Is there a particular?
Yeah, pretty much, you know, it's an all around whatever kind of thing. You start to, the coordinators that you work for, you know, they know you and they have a general idea of what you're capable of. So when you get the call, it's, you know, the person calling you already has a pretty good idea of what you're capable of.
Is there a particular type of stunt that you're most comfortable with doing, and maybe that you have done, with the most frequency, such as a car driving stunt or, you know, parachute?
They're two different things. There's one that I do with the most frequency, and then there's one that I'm most comfortable with. For some reason, I've always been comfortable around fire. So when I get lit up, there's nothing macho about it whatsoever. It just doesn't bother me. I don't know why. It just doesn't. So
you're like, oh, my arm's on fire.
Okay. Yeah, or my whole entire body's on fire. Yeah, those are the good ones. That's what I like to do, and yeah, it just doesn't bother me. So it's a highly dangerous stunt that just happens to not bother me whatsoever. So any chance I can to get lit up, I definitely like to do that. As far as what I do with the most frequency, people sometimes get disappointed with this answer, but it's usually just like falling down and hitting the ground. You know, you either get shot or you're a fight scene, you're in a fight scene or whatever. So bang, and you go down. And that's also the most physically traumatic, because I tell you what, hitting the ground over and over and over and over again, that hurts.
Now, give us an idea for those of us who are not, you know, on the movie set or on the TV or on the studio set. How long is the setup for a stunt?
It depends on the show. And some shows have the advantage of and the luxury of being able to set things up, you know, far in advance. And some just don't. And a lot of times, like I work a lot of episodic TV, like all the Law and Order shows and FBI and stuff like that. And a lot of times they're moving at such a fast pace that we don't really have too much time to do stuff. So, you know, it might only be like an hour or two before, or we might just figure it out on the fly. But typically, if you're doing something really dangerous, like anything involving a car, or like I said, getting set on fire, or anything where you could get really seriously hurt, then they pretty much give you as much time as you need within reason to set everything up and make sure everything's okay.
You mentioned some of the Law and Order series and so forth, the things that you work. One of my favorite shows that you've done is Person of Interest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I loved was that Jim Caviezel, who is just like kind of plays this everyman. You know, all the time. What was that like, you know, working on that show?
That was awesome, actually. That was the first I did a bunch of episodes of Person of Interest, and that was one of my earlier ones too, so that was kind of important in the evolution of my career. Started meeting a lot of people. Actually, Person of Interest it goes directly, that's pretty much directly in my story of how my career got started. But yeah, as far as working on it, and Jim Caviezel, he was one of the cool ones. I loved working on Person of Interest, and Caviezel was always very nice, super intense. I never forget the one time that I really got a chance to talk to him, because usually you're working, you know, you don't really have a lot of time to kibitz, especially with the the lead of the show.
Sure.
But he's kind of like, just like his character, you know, he walks up to you and he's doing his Jim, the Person of Interest, you know, Caviezel voice, and and he says something really weird and cryptic to you that kind of makes sense, and then he just walks off and leaves you with that. Like, what the hell just happened? But cool guy.
Where he goes up to you and just goes, sky is blue because of, you know, because of you know, oxidation in the air. Think about it.
Kind of like that. Yeah, it wasn't specifically that, but that was pretty comparable. Yep. And he walks away. You're like, what?
He has that same kind of the intensity, like I always say, for Vincent D'Onofrio,
mm-hmm.
You know, who was on the Law and Order Criminal Intent,
mm-hmm.
and that whole thing with, you know, the interrogation scene. You do not want to be in an interrogation, you know, in an interrogation room with a guy who looks or acts like D'Onofrio or like Jim Caviezel. They will get the information that they want.
Yeah, right.
From you. Either that or they'll beat you to death.
Right. Right. Yeah. And Caviezel was the guy always had so much on his plate that he's kind of notorious. Actors in general are kind of, as a stunt person, you go in there, if you have a fight scene with an actor, mm-hmm. you pretty much accept the fact that you're probably going to get clocked at some point, because they have so much on their plate and they're not trained stunt people per se, you know what I mean? So you can't fault them at all. They have a lot less time than we do to prepare for this stuff. But Caviezel in particular was like, you know, a lot of people would wound up taking a shot from him during a fight scene, and I was no exception. There's an episode of the first episode of Person of Interest I ever did. He comes out and bam, 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 and we have this little exchange, and there's a part where he hammer fists me in the face, and he really hammer fisted me in the face, and I dropped like a rock, and that was the take that they used, at least. So it was not for nothing. If not,
you're giving it all for the performance. That's what.
Whether I liked it or not, you know.
But I'll bet you he was the guy who said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, man. And man, are you okay?" And probably helped you up and everything like that.
Yeah, of course. Yep, he's a good man.
But how do you so in that instance? How do you? Is there a way that you work around things like you know, things like that, or as you're saying, it just, you have to allow it to happen.
You have to allow it. Yeah, you do your best to prepare. And you know, when once they call action, everything's going at full speed and accidents happen. We go in there knowing that risk, and that's what we get paid for. So no big deal.
Can we get a shout out that says Jim Caviezel may have broken your nose? You know, as far, no.
I think he hit me in the jaw. Yeah.
Okay.
My nose is fine.
So, yeah. So, you know, to everyone out there, Jim Caviezel may act with his fists. You know, it's okay. It's.
Yep.
So you actually go, okay, you're going from this, you're working on a crime series like Person of Interest. And you did some work on Black Mass, which is one of my favorite films. Johnny Depp is one of my favorite performers.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one.
And but that's the difference between working, you're going from a TV set to a major motion picture set. Again, we talked about the setup for the stunts and so forth. What differs between the television and the film set? I would imagine that you're on a film set, you're there for most of the morning to doing the stunt, or maybe most of the day.
Yeah, again, it all depends. It depends on the budget, and really, especially with a movie, it depends on the budget and how much of, you know, money and time they will give us to do something. On a movie like Black Mass, we were out there for a while. You know, that opening scene at the Triple O's where they introduce Kevin Weeks, and there's the brawl outside the bar.
Huge brawl.
That's what I was involved in, and they actually cut a lot of that out. We were out there for about a month going over that and choreographing everything, and that was a super cool job. Guy that hired me for that is a guy named Chuck Jeffries, who coordinated all the fight scenes and stuff, like the original Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire. He's one of Wesley Snipes' right-hand guys, so he did a lot of the stuff in the Blade series, and he actually choreographed the fight between Freddy and Jason in Freddy versus Jason.
Wow.
Yeah, he is on board with a project that I have in the works right now, but I won't steal all the time for questions and stuff.
No, that's fine. I'm going to have you talk about, you know, what's coming up next and so forth. Because, well, I think what's coming up next for you, just looking at your resume, you probably have about another 30 years, 40 years of stuff that you're doing. But this is a horror podcast, so to speak. So let's talk American Horror Story.
Sure.
You did now. Talk about, you did the 2022 season, which was what was that, season 10 of the of American Horror Story, and this is something that has become a phenomenon over since 2011. And was this something, when you were approached to do this, was this something that you said, yeah, I'm excited, I'm so, you know, wow, this is incredible, American Horror Story is an iconic show? Or was this something that, oh, it's just another job?
No, I was excited. There's definitely a lot of them that are like just another job, but being I'm a huge horror fan, always have been, so definitely. I usually work in New York, and they never filmed in New York before. So that was definitely, I was totally excited to hear that.
And how is it working in, say, I guess you were working in American Horror Story, you're working even as a stuntman with a lot of makeup, a lot of, you know, it can be grotesque makeup if you're stunting as a character, a demonic character or something, you know, from the show, or you're dealing with a lot of blood. Maybe you're playing a dead body or something like that. Does that involve, as a stuntman, you're working with a lot more blood and a lot more prosthetics and so forth than you would other shows?
For what I did personally, didn't involve a lot of prosthetics, unfortunately, because I absolutely love that stuff. But no, nothing I did on American Horror Story was super makeup heavy stuff. A lot of blood, though, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you did you have to, were there any moments where you had to stand there while the makeup person applies a barrel of blood onto your stomach and things like that to get the to get the scene right, because you're playing a character that's going to be falling 18 stories, did you have to did you look at yourself and say, well, look at your clothing and so forth and say, this is showbiz, I guess?
Yep, done that plenty of times. Yep.
You're like, this is what I got into. Okay. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, pretty much. It's definitely, even now having done it for so long, it's still surreal sometimes. And you're like, this is my job. I have a really weird job. I'm playing pretend and getting paid for it. It's not what most people do.
No. And then you also get to do stuff like you get to do a lot of comic book stuff. I'm seeing. I'm a huge, huge comic book fan, superheroes and so forth. And
yeah, me
you
too.
get called to work on Charlie Cox's Daredevil series.
Yeah.
Did you at any point in time get to double for Daredevil?
No, I didn't double, but so that's a specific thing. Like if you're doubling some guy, there's different roles that a stunt person will take. You can double somebody or you can be an actual character yourself or be an ND guy, they say, you know, nondescript person. But I didn't double, but I worked with the guy that doubled Charlie Cox on Daredevil is a guy named Chris Brewster. Mm-hmm. Like amazing stunt guy, can do all the crazy, you know, all the stuff Daredevil does, all the flippy back and spinning back kicks and all that crazy stuff. But so, no, I did not double him. I did get kicked in the face by his double, though.
It reminds me of that the movie, one of the Rush Hour movies was, I don't know, sure if it was part two or part three, where Chris Tucker gets involved with in a fight, his character. And it's a martial arts, super fast kind of fight, and Tucker gets hit in the face and he turns around and goes, all right, which one of y'all kicked me?
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
So you have now, what that must be quite a different experience too, when you're going from television or just mainstream film to working on something that is Marvel produced, something that is that is Disney run, like Daredevil, like a superhero series. Was that a unique setup in and of itself?
No, not really. There's not a whole lot of difference, except on a show like Daredevil, obviously it's superheroes and it's Daredevil and it's like really high level fight stuff, so You can't be a slacker with stuff like that. You know, you have to really be on point. You have to be on point on no matter what show you're on. But that those Marvel shows in particular, like you really had to be on your A game with the fight stuff.
Yeah, that's
pretty much the only difference.
Right, and you also get to work on something else. That's another rather horror and fantasy related, certainly twisted, Gotham. You got to work on that series, and that is that had to be, now for that kind of thing, that had to be, if you're the fan of that kind of fantasy, just walking onto a set on Gotham with all of its weird architecture and things like that, that had to be just something of an experience for you, even as someone who's a working person on the set.
Oh yeah, totally. And like I'm a lifelong comic book geek myself, so some of my favorite jobs were on Gotham. I did quite a few episodes of that. I remember I was on it one time and we were doing something else in the Batcave. You know, it's the premise is when Bruce Wayne was still a young kid on the Gotham show. It wasn't like the established Batcave yet, but it was still like the Batcave in its early stages, and I got to go in there and just kind of wander around. It was pretty awesome, for sure.
And you got to work with one of the most intense yet really likable stars that I've seen in some time, in Ben McKenzie.
Ben's a really cool dude. Yep.
He's one of those ones that he's a guy, if he wasn't a star, wasn't an actor focusing on acting, he would be a stunt player, a stunt performer, because he's the guy who's like, you need someone to run into that, you know, fiery building where it's collapsing on everyone, I'm your guy, let's go.
Yeah,
and then just start running.
Yeah, that's possible. Ben's stunt double on Gotham is a buddy of mine, Turner Smith. who went on to be the stunt coordinator on American Horror Story. So he's actually the guy that hired me for that.
Cool. So this is all about, it's kind of about knowing people and, you know, not only being very good at your work, but knowing people that gets you, you know, to like your next gig and totally. So forth. Maybe it's like a equal balance, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's so dangerous, and a coordinator, a coordinator basically has is responsible for people's lives and safety. So of course they're going to want to hire people that they know and they have good reason to believe the person's not going to get hurt and knows what they're doing and all that stuff, you know?
So I have to ask you, has there ever been a stunt where you took a step, you took a moment to say, wait a minute, I'm not sure about this?
No, not that I wasn't sure about it. There have been ones where, you know, for sure, like this is going to hurt really bad and it might hurt. This might be like hospital level bad, but you just hope that it's not.
You mean like a scene with Jim Caviezel, and you have to fight him.
Yeah. You just wake up later. There was actually this one's horror related, the show Evil. Yeah. You familiar with that?
Yes.
At all?
Yes.
Yeah. I actually did a pretty gnarly one on that where I did a wire pull about 20 feet across the room and just standing there measuring everything out, and I'm like, you know, measuring the spot from where I was gonna fly all the way over the wall. I'm like, this is pretty far. This one's gonna hurt. And it did. I was right.
Now, and that's a show that has Mike Coulter, who is, he's just not necessarily with his acting, just with his acting performance, physically he's just an intimidating presence.
Yeah,
he's the guy that if you needed a human being, there's a handful of actors out there that play characters, if you needed just a human being, an ordinary human being, to go up against extremely powerful supernatural forces with nothing but their fists or their gun, one of them is Mike Coulter.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I can imagine
awesome dude. He's another one. What's that? Yeah.
I can just imagine some supernatural force saying, you know, I'm gonna destroy you all, and Mike Coulter would be, you got to get through me first.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. He's that guy.
And I've got a baseball bat. Is all I've got. A really large baseball bat. You got to get through me first.
Right. And he'll do it convincingly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, that's another series where you're dealing with, a lot of, weirdness going on, high flying technical effects and so forth. And so you're mm-hmm. doing that shot you're talking about, that scene you're talking about. You really did have the moment where you said to yourself, this is going to really hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. And, you know, as a stuntman, every time you get adjustments for every stunt that you do. So typically you want to do it as many times as you can and rack up that paycheck as high as you can. Now, but this one, I was prepared to do it like four or five times. After that first one, boom, I get launched through the air 20 feet back into the wall. Wham! And it hurt enough that I was like, okay. And, you know, I would have done it as many times as they wanted, but I was definitely glad that they had several cameras set up and they got the whole thing in one take. I popped some. That was when I discovered that your ribs have caps on them. Did you know that?
Yeah. No, I didn't.
And actually, the caps can get popped off. I did not. I was not aware of that before. And that's how I found that out.
Well, let's try not to find that out next time. Okay. You know, that sounds like one of those moments where you're getting out of the harness and so forth, and you're saying to no one in particular, does anyone else hear that bell?
Yeah, pretty much.
before you collapse to the ground.
Exactly. You wait till nobody's looking, and then you fall into the fetal position and cry.
There you go. Now, one question that I, you know, have, it's always, you know, fascinated me as a stunt performer, how much input do you have to a stunt coordinator or a choreographer to say, to make suggestions, to make to give your thoughts that this stunt would work better if we did this? How much input can you do reasonably as a stunt man?
Pretty much you have a decent amount of say in it. It's all relative to the individual job and person you're working with. You know, some guys welcome that and want that, and you know they do, so you have the freedom to give them your input. You gotta feel it out, you know. Just read the room, so to speak, and feel it out and see if your input would be a good idea or not, pretty much. But yeah, there's quite a few times where your input is definitely welcome.
Yeah, and that's when I'm speaking about, when, you know, there are times when you read about actors or you read interviews with actors, and they say how they can give input to a director, or certain directors will allow some input, some other directors maybe not so much. I was just wondering if that give and take was about the same with stunt coordinators and so forth.
Yep, exactly, pretty much.
Okay, so. Yeah. What have you got that's coming up next? You probably have 18 different genres, 19 different mediums that you're going to be working on, and maybe you're also you're being the lead actor in a project where you're also doing your own stunts, and you're doing and you're directing it because you like all those hats. What do you got next?
I wish. Well, the only thing I'm definitely working on is the old bread and butter cop shows in New York, because they're actually the only ones, for the most part, that are up and running right now. I'm sure you've heard about the strike that just ended. Mm-hmm. It was the longest strike in Hollywood history, and a lot of the shows still have not started up yet, believe it or not, because they're waiting for this and that, waiting for that. But the old school shows like Law and Order, the ones that have been around, they're up and running. So they've been keeping me busy. So got a bunch of those coming up, and actually I'm getting my first project of my own off the ground as we speak. It's not a straight up horror, but it's definitely, there's a lot of heavy horror elements in it. So much so that, I was kind of worried that I would go too far with the horror stuff, but that seems to be the stuff, whoever's read it, that's the stuff that they really respond to the most and tell me that's what they like the most. So I guess I'm doing something right.
Well, see, I don't respond to any project that doesn't have a kill count before the opening credits. I need to have at least 8 body kills and maybe some maimings before I get the credit Paramount Pictures Presents, you know, that kind of thing.
That is a very reasonable prerequisite. I can't fault you for that.
Well, especially if you're going into a Bruce Willis or Charles Bronson, type of movie. You know, sometimes the audience just needs to be shot at before to get the juices flowing for that kind of picture. But I could picture you as doing something, playing a lead vampire in a show, doing something like that. I want to see you doing something where you've got like heavy prosthetics, makeup on, teeth that extend out of your mouth, that kind of thing, and you having to go at it with the hero and so forth, and maybe the hero gets bit a few times.
I want to see that too. That would be awesome.
See, you know, that's, I'm glad that you, I'm glad that you've immersed yourself in, or embraced the horror part of your career. And I do hope that you have many more scenes of bloodletting and death-defying stunts. As far as that goes, I just hope that, you know, if you do work with Jim Caviezel again, you know, Jim, lay up a little, will you, huh?
You know, when I get knocked out by Jim Caviezel, my paycheck goes up. So honestly, okay. he can knock me around a little bit if he wants. It's okay.
There you go. All right, then let's say the same thing about having, if you work with Dwayne Johnson, have him, you know, knock you around a bit. That guy has muscles out to, you know, out to infinity.
He sure does. I worked with him. Did you see that on my resume?
Yeah. And yeah. So what kind of, he seems like the guy who is the prankster, the guy who is the, you know, this is too serious of a set. I need to lighten thing, you know, things up. So he'll bring out the fart machine or something like, something like that. The sound effects, he'll do something, the whoopee cushion.
That was not the vibe that I got from
really?
Him. But he was definitely a nice dude, super nice guy. Shakes your hand and says nice to meet you and all that stuff.
But all business pretty much.
When I was around him, it was all business. Yeah, there was a lot going on. It was a big, huge action scene. So you know, he had his work cut out for him.
And you're talking about Central Intelligence. That would be that's also the film that has. That has Kevin Hart in it. So if you need somebody to lighten things up, Kevin Hart is your guy.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much what was going on there. Yeah, that was a cool one because Dwayne, you know, obviously he's the Rock. He's huge. The first thing I do in the scene is he kicks me in the chest and I go flying backwards. So that's what I have to prepare for, and I'm like, oh my god, you know. About to take a foot in the chest by the Rock's 12 size 13 whatever foot, and I'm preparing for it. I'm like, here we go. And with his pro wrestling background, he was so precise with pulling his kicks and his punches that I barely felt a thing.
Well, I was going to ask you, did you have to do a self check after the stunt happened? This part, this body part's still here. This still here. I'm still breathing. Is this kind of
not on that part, but later on, he slams a refrigerator door into my face about 10 times in a row. And that one, talk about seeing the proverbial stars. Holy smokes.
Yeah. But were you checking to make sure the family jewels were still in place? You know, that's the, you know, I think that's a big key.
Not on that one, but I have plenty of times.
Okay.
Plenty of times.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I have really enjoyed chatting with you. Let's talk about anything more that you want to bring up, any more future projects you said yet. You want to talk a little bit more about what you've got coming up next?
Sure, if you want, we can
go ahead.
On the horror topic, so the guy I mentioned that hired me for Black Mass,
yes,
he did the fights for the Blade series and for Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah,
he is on board as my fight coordinator for my project that I'm trying to get off the ground. And we also have two really high-level special effects guy, my buddy Anthony Giordano, really gnarly special effects guy. He did some work on the Terrifier series. I'm sure you're familiar with those, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And he brought on a guy named Eric De La Vega, who worked for years for Greg Nicotero's KNB effects group. And... he's now branched out on his own, and I'm lucky enough to have him on board my project. So I'm super stoked about that.
Now you mentioned the Terrifier series. We've had David Howard Thornton on the show, and he is such a wonderful, you know, wonderful guy and a wonderful, you know, actor. But I still, even out of makeup, and even out of away from the character, of Art the Clown. I still get a little intimidated by him.
What is it, the smile or what?
The smile, the look that he'll give you. Sometimes very acidic humor, the biting humor that he has. Wonderful sense of humor. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, I don't know if I trust this guy. I'm like, he seems like the guy who might have a blade behind him. And maybe a bit of that gleeful Art the Clown smile and so forth. So you kind of look at him and he's like, well, he makes me uncomfortable a little bit.
So I'm a little unsettling about him, huh?
Definitely, but a terrific person. And it's just the performer. It's just the act. But I do see you're going to be working on FBI Most Wanted. That's your another...
Yeah.
You've got that coming up. That's a very successful series. What's that for CBS at this point? And so that's more of what you're talking about, the New York set series that you're going to be doing?
Yeah, pretty much all of them. I'm sorry I get confused because there's so many of them now. So there's the regular FBI, FBI Most Wanted, etc. So all of those... film in New York, as do all the Law and Orders. There's the original Law and Order, SVU, etc. So, yes, I work on all that stuff and just did several episodes of... I just finished FBI Most Wanted, did one of the Law and Orders, and I'm not going to lie, sometimes I get confused as to which ones I actually did.
Well, I'll tell you one show that, which is one of my, I'm going to give a shout out. I'll give a shout out to whoever your agent is. If you can ever get a gig working on Fire Country.
Fire Country.
That is the one. It's about firefighters in Northern California forest, forest area. And it's about firefighters who work at a particular station there, and every week this is with Billy Burke is one of the stars of it. Max Therio is another one of the stars, and it involves both a fire station, a fire chief and his family, and also a prison firefighter, like a work release program, and they have every week they have huge major disasters that happen, massive forest fire and so forth, hundreds of families in danger and things like that. So there's all these kinds of stunts. I think that you would be perfect for working that. It's called Fire Country, and it's a really terrific... I'm hooked on it. It's now in season two. And it is for, I think it's for, I'm not sure if it's for CBS or NBC, but it is, it's a very fun show. You should check it out. And to your agent out there, get him a gig on this show, all right? Fire Country.
I don't have an agent anymore. Once the stunts took over, you are your own agent.
Well, see, I don't think you need an agent, actually, because you seem to have this personable, this personality that you really get yourself out there.
And
we like to see that with our guests and so forth. You're really engaging and talkative and so forth. And you have plenty of great stories. And I really wish the best success, for you. Keep doing horror. Keep being employed. Forget this writer's strike stuff.
Easier said than done sometimes, but that's the plan. Thank you.
Well, you're quite welcome. And where can people find you if you are, on social media, if they want to hire you? Hint, 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 hint. Or if they want to just check out what you're doing next.
Sure, you can go look up at Todd Ryan Jones. That's my handle. You can look on IMDb under Todd Ryan Jones. That has a pretty good list of everything going on. And I also have my only personal website is for my strongman stuff that I do. We didn't even get into all that.
Yes. But
it's thestrongmantoddjones.com. Pretty simple.
Well, yep. Todd Ryan Jones, thank you very much for joining us. You have been a delight, and I hope that you have all the success in the world going forward. Please keep making making stunts for films and keep doing horror. Horror works.
Absolutely. I have much more to talk about. Thanks for having me on. And if you ever want to have me on again, I can really go deep in some horror stuff. So please keep me in mind. And thanks for having me on again. It was absolutely a pleasure.
And we will have you on. We will have you back hopefully next time with my three other hosts. We will have you on. We'll have you talking more horror, perhaps more Gotham, more AHS. We'll get it done. Thanks a lot.
Sounds good, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's it for today's show, folks. For Joe Flynn, Al Omega, Anthony Derone, I'm Kevin Nicholson. We'll see you next time.